it's good to be with you once again, and so thankful to be here. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8, we will have our lesson today will be coming from that. I want us to consider, if you will, kind of getting the kind of a idea of the situation at hand here before Solomon makes his dedication, is that we find that David, many years prior, had a desire to build a temple, gathered many things, fine gold and silver and the most precious of timbers. But yet God would not allow David to build such a structure. As it was told him, he was a man of war. He had killed many people in his time of war. So the time was left for that temple to be built by his son, Solomon. And so we find after many years, as it recall, that Solomon and the people of Israel completed the building of this great temple to God. And after they had placed the Ark of the Covenant within the temple, making it of a certain dimensions and everything, and of the greatest of things, we find that Solomon, after prayers was made, that he dedicated it to the Lord. And in this reading, I want us to notice here, beginning in verse 54, it says, "And so it was, when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel. According to all that he had promised, there has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses." Then he goes on to say, "May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day." Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. Within the reading here, what I find in my studies of it, that I can conclude that there are four particular areas that Solomon dealt with within this dedication that he gave to God. And that's what I want us to look at today, is these four points or four issues that Solomon brings up in this dedication that he gave unto God. The first one that I want us to look at is the idea of thanksgiving being given not unto the people of God, not unto others, but unto God himself for what he has done. Now, some of them may have said, and you know, even others that have read about the undertaking that it took to build this temple and the difficulties they had in trying to obtain everything, but yet we find that they were able to build this temple. Now, one of the things that we could consider is, as Solomon and the children of Israel, they could have easily have taken the glory and everything for themselves. But yet we find here that Solomon makes it very clear that the thanksgiving, the thanks, should be given not to themselves and not to the people of Israel, but unto God. And I want us to look at that for a moment. Whenever we think about it, wasn't it God that freed them from their bondage, from their slavery? Wasn't it God that in the reading of those verses there that Solomon even brings it up, that he gave them peace from their enemies during the time of the building of that temple? They didn't have to worry and be distracted by their enemies trying to come in upon them during that time. God provided them that safety. And then also, didn't God provide all that they needed? You recall, even going back to their Egyptian bondage, that whenever they left Egypt, those people were so thankful to get rid of them that they were giving them their gold and their silver and everything else. And throughout that time, we find that God made sure that provisions were made and provisions were kept in order to build this great structure that was built. We'd have to say yes to everything here. Sometimes we ourselves, we forget about what God has done for each and every one of us individually and as congregations, how God has provided for each and every one of us. And we tend to want to take the glory away from God, but yet we need to realize that without God, we are nothing. Without God, there's nothing to be thankful for. God is what gives us our life, our very existence. I want us to look, if you will, for a moment, and we'll come back over to 1 Kings there in a moment, but turn your Bibles over to Psalms 107 and verses 1 through 3. Psalms 107, 1 through 3. And notice what it says here. David, the psalmist here, says, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." One of the greatest blessings that God has given unto mankind is the blessing of redemption, the salvation of our souls. You know, it was discussed a little bit in class is how that we need to thank God daily on a continual basis for his great love that he demonstrated to each and every one of us in the giving of his Son. And his Son so willing of himself to go to that cross and suffer and die. There would be no salvation without God. There would be no place that we can call our eternal home in heaven without God. The very abode that we live in on this earth is not possible without God. Everything and in all things, we need to be thankful to God on a continual basis. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you turn your Bibles over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and notice there what the writer Paul is illustrating here in verses 16 and 18. And there's three things that he brings up here. The first thing is, notice there, rejoice always in everything, in whatever we do, in whatever phase of our lives we are in. He says, rejoice always. And then the second point he makes here is pray without ceasing. Constant communication with our Father in heaven. And then the third one in verse 18 is, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks, for he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks on a continual basis every day of our lives. One of the things that Solomon recognized that was vitally important in this dedication that he gave was that of giving thanks to God for all that God had done. And we too, ourselves, need to, on a daily basis, be thankful unto God. But let's look at the second point that Solomon makes here. In verses 57 and 58, He says, may the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our father. See, what we find here is Solomon is saying, pray that God will continue to be with us. And not only be with us, but to guide us on a continual basis. We need not only God's presence, but we need God's guidance. We need his instructions. As we find the proverb writer and many others have said, that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We are not capable of doing it on our own. We need God's guidance. We need his ever presence in our lives. You know, I have officiated several weddings in the past, and I've always made it, it's necessary for anyone that officiates a marriage that they have to counsel the couple that is getting married. And one of the things that I always emphasize with those couples is that it's not him and her, but it's him and her, and above all, God is in that family relationship. Keeping God constantly in our relationships that we have with each and every one of us. We find that so many times we try to overcome trials, we try to overcome situations in our lives, and we think, I can do this on my own. I don't need any help. And we tell others that. We say, I don't need any help from anyone. I can do this myself. But one thing to keep in mind is we can't do it without God. And just ask yourself, whenever you've thought of that and whenever you've tried that, just how, what was the outcome of it? How well did it come, end up? We need God. We need his guidance. In Psalms chapter 25, turn, if you will, with me over to the book of Psalms once again, to chapter 25 and verses 8 through 10 of that passage there. And notice it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, it says, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble, now there's a point that we need to make here. In order for us to accept God's guidance, it requires us to humble our hearts, to humble ourselves, to be willing to accept God's guidance. And so he says here, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, he says, to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. We need that guidance. In Proverbs chapter 3, turn our books over a little further there, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. And we notice verses 5 through 6 there, where the proverb writer says, he says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, he says. Now that's an interesting thought there. Lean not on your own understanding. We are inadequate. We are incapable without God. That's simply what he's saying. And then in verse 6 it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now again, we think about what he's trying to say here. Acknowledging God means accepting it, committing unto him. And God promises he will direct us in the way that we should go. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, we kind of looked at that a little bit there, but we find there that it says there that after they had been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the disciples were commanded to teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Not to just teach it to them, but teach them to how to observe it, how to make it a part of our lives. We can read God's word. We can constantly study God's word, but until we apply it to our lives, it is of no use to us. We need God's understanding. We need His will, His instructions to guide us in everything, in every aspect of our lives. We need God with us. Now, getting to the third point that we find Solomon illustrating here, and that is found in verses 59, if you will, and through 60. And here he says, "And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord," he says, "be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other." What is Solomon saying here? He's simply saying that we will proclaim God among all nations. He was praying that God's name may be known throughout all the nations. Now, one thing that we read about in history is that the other nations that surrounded Israel, they learned about God. They learned about his power. They became fearful of the God of Israel through what they had witnessed and seen for themselves as it happened. What about us today? What about man today? Man doesn't fear God like they used to. And why is that? It could very well be because the name of the Lord God is not being proclaimed as it should. That the fear of God is not being enlightened in the eyes of those around us. That maybe we are failing in some way to proclaim his great and holy name. See, man today, they just don't seem to fear God. And sometimes, it's because of the lack of exposure of God's name. There are so many other distractions in our society today, that the social media and all these other things that people have gotten their attention to, and they're just drawn to it and they feed on it. And they're leaving behind God and his will. We need to be proclaiming the word of God. You know, as I study this lesson, I can't stop but think, you know, whenever you find, let's just say Dollar General here beside you. What if they all of a sudden had a 75% off sale on everything in their store? How many of us would be getting on the phone and starting to call each and every one? Hey, you got to get down here. The manager of this store has dropped everything. You're only paying 25% of what the actual price is. You need to hurry. See, news like that, we can't wait to get on our cell phones or devices or call or just talk to our friends and neighbors and say, you got to get down there. It's only for a limited time, too. And think about that. It's only for a limited time. But yet comes the gospel. Something that actually will save us eternally. It, too, is for a limited time. Time is swiftly going by. The offer still stands. The invitation that our Lord and Savior gave is still there. But we don't call. We don't share. We don't communicate it. These are just things to think about. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission was given there to teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the earth. That's the Great Commission. We can ask ourselves, where would I be today if someone did not take the time to explain to me the gospel of Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. Where would I be today? Would I ever have had the opportunity to have obeyed the gospel to the saving of my soul? It takes exposure. Solomon here saw the need that all nations needed to know who the true God was. And still today, man needs to know who God is, who we worship, who we praise, who we glorify each and every day. We find in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we find there that when great persecution came upon the people, you know, we're not persecuted today as they were. There were many disciples of Christ in the early ages there that actually gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And it says they were scattered abroad, yes, because of persecution, but they did not keep themselves quiet. It says wherever they were scattered, they went everywhere teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing that their physical life was on the line. Knowing that persecution could happen. But they still continued to spread that gospel, to communicate who God is. This is something that Solomon, in his dedication, brought up, that all nations should know who the true God is. And then the fourth point that I want us to look at is we find in verse 61 of that passage there, and notice what he says there. He says, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. There was great excitement. They had completed this temple. And there was so great of an excitement among the people that it's finished. Look at the glory of this temple that we built for the Lord. And he's saying there, the commitment that you put into building this temple, keep that commitment to the Lord and continue to build upon it. Just as we, when we first obeyed the gospel, can you remember the excitement that was in you when you obeyed that gospel? Is that same excitement still in you today and in me? Is the same commitment that I made on that day still the same commitment today? Is it just as strong, if not stronger? It should be. See, Solomon here was asking for full commitment to God. As his history tells us, though, of course, what we find and read about with the children of Israel is that many of them were not fully committed to God. Shortly after they had left Egyptian bondage, we find them building an altar, an idol, and worshiping it. We find them trying to pick among them someone to lead them back to Egypt to go back into slavery. Many times we find that they disobeyed God and they rebelled against God. And in every instance, they lost. What was given unto them was taken away from them. You know, whenever the remnant of Israel came back to Jerusalem, they came back to shambles. They came back to rubbish. It had completely been destroyed by their enemies. And they had to rebuild. Sometimes when we rebel against God, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to rebuild. We need to start over again, afresh. And maybe you're here today and maybe you're in that predicament in your life, spiritual life. That you've not been fully committed to God, that you've not followed after His will as we should. Solomon found it very important, and we too need to find it as important that we commit fully unto God. In Proverbs 16:3 there, commit your works to the Lord. How many of us have really committed to God? Or have we got doubt in our hearts? In Colossians chapter 3, we'll look at a few passages of Scripture and the lesson will be yours. In Colossians chapter 3, and we notice here, in getting to the writings of Paul, when he wrote to the church in Colossae there, in chapter 3, verses 17, beginning there, notice it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Now, in the next few verses, we're going to notice a little bit of what he's trying to say here. He begins with wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is the well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Verse 23 tells us, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Simply what we find here, we need to ask ourselves, whether it be wives and husbands, are we fully committed to that relationship? Children, are we fully committed to our parents and to their will and to the will of God? Fathers, how we bring up our families. We find in Ephesians that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and one of the comments that he makes there is that fathers bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have responsibilities here, commitments that we make. Bond servants, when we think of bond servants in today's society, it's the employee-employer relationship. How well I do my job at wherever it may be, knowing that I'm doing it for the will of God and not for men. And then he says there, knowing that from the Lord we will receive the reward of the inheritance. See, if we're not fully committed unto God, we won't have that reward. That reward of heaven will not be there for us. And then finally, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, again, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, when we look at this, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Now that is full commitment. God is not asking us to offer ourselves on a cross, literally. What God is asking of us is full commitment, a sacrifice unto Him. That I set aside everything else and I put God first in my life and all else second. As it says there, we are to be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Through study and knowledge of God's word. Knowing what the will of God is, making that application to our lives that we can be fully committed unto Him. If you're here today and you have never obeyed the gospel, water and clothing is prepared, and you can be baptized into Christ Jesus today. making that commitment unto God in service to Him. If you are a child of God and there's sin in your life, sin that it renders, it severs the relationship that we have between us and God. That is a relationship we all need. We can't afford to sever that relationship. But it requires commitment. It requires getting ourselves back up, repenting of our sins, and committing once again unto God. Whatever your desire is, we hope and pray you'll come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.
Oh, your sins be as...